everybody. Cal Banyan here. That's right. Cal Banyan's Hypnosis, etc. Once again, I have Meredith Locker with me to do another episode. And this is going to be a fun, interesting episode, as always. We're going to talk about hypnosis mistakes that hypnosis professionals make that can screw up their practice and cause them to get all frustrated and stuff. But first, let me tell you, if you're watching this video anywhere except CalBanyan.com, you want to go there right now, CalBanyan.com, because we're going to have additional text, we have additional links, information for you, graphics, right there, right below this video. Let me tell you a little bit about Meredith. And I know you guys have been following us for a while and you hear it, but I just like talking about the magnificent Meredith Locker as much as I can. She is a consummate professional. She is educated. She's got a master's degree in psychology. She was a talk therapist before she became a hypnotherapist and doing hypnotherapy and hypnosis in this area of the world. Her office is in Los Angeles. She does a great job. Her clients love her. If I had family that I could get into the LA area to see her, I definitely would. How you doing, Meredith?
I am doing so good. Happy to be back for yet another podcast with you, Cal. I want to make sure you guys know who Cal is. And in fact, I have sent family to Cal. And if I had my way, I'd send a whole lot more. That's for sure. Love you, family. But Cal is the one that created 5PATH, the one-on-one advanced process for change that I use with every single client, every single time, without question. He also brought us 7th Path Self-Hypnosis. He's written many, many books. I'm sure he'll write more articles than I would even dare to count. He is presenting four topics this year at the National Guild Convention. So excited, so pleased and proud to call him my mentor. He's Cal Banyan.
That's right. Who's your hypno daddy?
He's Cal Banyan.
Hey.
I know. I posted a thing about my two dads and on Facebook on Father's Day, and Cal's like, what about your hypno daddy? I'm
like, that's just, right.
You know, I was just going to send you something, Cal.
All right. Let's see. We kind of came up with an impromptu topic. Meredith says, what about, you know, we're always talking about what they should be doing and techniques and stuff like that. What about mistakes that hypnotists make? And I said, gosh, it seems like I did a series on dumb hypnotist tricks. That's what I called it. And but it's been a long time. It's been years. And so we're going to go through at least 10 top hypnosis mistakes that hypnosis professionals or hypnosis professional wannabes make that really get in the way of them being successful and their clients being successful. All right, so we're going to probably bounce back and forth. This one might seem a little bit more disorganized than usual because I wrote up my list and Meredith helped me write the list. She might add some things as we go along. And so this is kind of chronological, at least it starts off that way. One of the most important first mistakes that hypnotists make is I'm going to move something that was down the middle of the list to the top of the list. Not starting with a system in mind. You got to have a system in mind. You got to be thinking about what is the first thing I do? What is the second thing I do? And the third thing I do? And the system needs to be criteria based so that you do number one thing until something has been accomplished. Then you move into number two thing, whatever that is. And those number one thing and number two thing might have little sub-routines within that. And certainly, it's my way of thinking like that that caused me to come up with 5PATH, because 5PATH is 5-phase advanced transformational hypnosis. But whatever you do, you have to have a system in mind. I study business all the time. And I work at hypnosis, I'm growing in the world of hypnosis, but I also reach out to other professionals and go to seminars and I read books, and they over and over again, they talk about you have to have a system. So you need to have a system in place. What do you think of that, Meredith?
I agree completely. And you know, I have to tell you, one of the top questions that I get from people around the world on a regular basis is, I have a client with this. What do I do next? You know, what do I do? And either they haven't started yet and they don't know what to do in the first place, or they've already gotten started and don't know what to do now. And, you know, for me, it's so easy because now we're not necessarily saying you have to do 5-path here, but that happens to be my system. And if you've got another system or you create another system, fantastic, more power to you. But the fact that I do have that system, I know what I'm going to do with my clients when they come in. And I know not just the first session, but the next one and the next one after that, I have a plan and I can just relax and ease into the process with them and bring in that confidence that I require to give them confidence. It just feels so good knowing that I'm all set.
Yeah, you know that so many people have difficulty getting started, or they have difficulty going beyond just working with one issue, or difficulty really growing in the profession. And that, I don't know whoever first said this, but it is a great concept. The confused mind does nothing. The uncertain mind does nothing. And so by working within a process, then that gives you the confidence, it gives you the flow to proceed. Okay, number two, when, like in 5-path, the phase one is called the preparation, testing, and convincing phase. So what is so important is you got to realize that everything you do with the client, either in person or through audio or video or written information such as a brochure or a website, this is all part of the client preparation. So you cannot just go from someone wondering about hypnosis to hypnotizing them. You know, it's like if you're still dating and you go up to a girl and you say, marry me. You know, you need that introductional preparation phase, right, Meredith?
Absolutely.
Of course, that happens to you all the time, right,
guys? It's got to start somewhere. Yeah, yeah. Happens to me all the time, Cal.
Yeah, you and Elrond both. They always...
It happens to me by Elrond. No, just kidding, Elrond.
Oh, he should be so lucky. All right. Could you want to add anything about client preparation?
I mean, really, there's so much I could get into about that. So it's a tricky one to talk about because, I mean, client preparation, everything from your website, your business cards, your wardrobe, your office, your forms that you're going to use, making sure you've got enough forms to use both for the client when they come in and in the actual session. I mean, it goes on and on and on. You know, being prepared to answer their questions when they call or when they email you. Know what you're going to say. You know, and we, Elrond and I did a whole series a while back ago on answering, you know, the phone, answering client questions. And I know Maureen has done it as well. And, you know, there's just so much information available to you in here on calbanion.com about that. But, yeah, if you don't know what you're going to say, if you don't have a plan, if you aren't prepared with the materials that you require, you're not going to have a good time, nor will your clients.
Well, you're right. So being prepared yourself and also preparing the client. So having do a, you know, a good introduction, have them walk into an office that looks professional, having them experience an excellent pre-talk. These are all the things that have to do with preparing the client. Another Banyanism is, if something doesn't work that should have worked, that indicates that something previous to that wasn't done or wasn't done effectively. Okay, so like if you go to hypnotize someone and they don't easily and quickly go into hypnosis, you probably haven't prepared them to go into hypnosis. The client should be at a point of like saying, let's get going, hypnotize me for God's sake. You know, they should be really at that raring to go point in the session. All right, so that brings us to hypnotizing people. One of the big mistakes, huge mistakes in our profession, in my experience and in my opinion, is that hypnotists are taking too long to hypnotize someone. And if you're taking more than 3 or 4 minutes to get hypnosis, then you know you need to update your technique. And you know, unfortunately, the predominant induction in our profession is one of the longest ones, a progressive relaxation induction. I mean, look on the internet. I have a video and an article that says the progressive relaxation induction is dead. There's so many better ways to go. You owe it to yourself. You owe it to your clients to borrow that time from the induction and put it into proper preparation, and you're going to get deeper, more reliable inductions of hypnosis. Anything you want to say about that, Meredith?
Yeah, I mean, time is money, really. And the quicker you can get them into the hypnotic state, the more quickly you can give them the results that they're paying you for, and the more likely it is that they're going to come back. So if you're wasting time and, in fact, potentially putting them to sleep by doing, you know, anything longer induction-wise than you need to, there's definitely a mistake happening. So it's easy to find shorter, rapid, instant inductions. Cal has, in fact, a DVD, right, Cal, that you could purchase, and I'm sure there's so many other options online. And really, in fact, any quality program should be teaching an induction that is short.
You know, that's one of the reasons we redesigned hypnosis.org. Hypnosis.org is we wanted it to be easier for people to go there and access the free training that we have. And one of the most important free trainings that we have on there is a video about how to do the Elman Banyan induction. Because, I mean, 3 to 4 minutes to somnambulism. And so that's really where we should be at a minimum. And with most of my clients, I use the 8-word induction, which takes 4 seconds. And after I've used that with them, I might use the 3-word induction, which takes about 2 seconds. And sometimes I use the affect-induced induction, or the time tunneling technique, that really requires no induction at all. Just going right into the hypnotherapeutic technique induces the hypnosis. So let's start to move the progressive relaxation for the vast majority of our clients into the world of antiquity. The only place I would ever use the progressive relaxation induction is if I did not care if they went into hypnosis, and I wouldn't mind if they fell asleep. So, like, I have a CD, Free to Sleep, hypnosis CD, and I use a progressive relaxation on there because I want them to go to sleep. So let's go ahead and move beyond that, at least for the vast majority of our clients. Let's get into some more rapid and instantaneous inductions. Okay, number 4. Not knowing if your clients are hypnotized. Oh man, this used to be one of my pet peeves. I've just come to accept it, that a lot of hypnosis schools and a lot of hypnotists don't have any clue as to whether or not their clients are hypnotized. They're scriptnotists. They will read a script, like a progressive relaxation induction, and then move on to whatever technique they're going to use next, which is probably reading another script for whatever the client came in for. And that kind of scriptnotist point of view, that now there is a place, I'm going to talk about this in a minute, there's a place for scripts. There's a place for them. But using scripts only without testing. You must test your clients to see what level of hypnosis they're in. Otherwise, they could be asleep, they could just be relaxed. Sleep and relaxation are not the same as hypnosis. So you must test for depth of hypnosis. Good. Anything you want to say about that, Meredith?
Yeah, so there's a podcast, number 280, on overt and covert depth testing. So definitely something that you want to check out if you want more detail on that. But if you do the Elman Banyan, you know, if you check that out and you do the Elman Banyan long form, it has losing the numbers built right in, which is a covert test for somnambulism, for threshold of somnambulism. So it couldn't be any easier to test if you use that. Right, Cal?
Exactly. And, you know, I think that I remember when let me not get ahead of myself in this list. Next, number 5, you got to understand Sleep is not the same as hypnosis. Sleep is a state of unconsciousness or relative unconsciousness. You are less sensitive, less receptive to information coming in. I've never seen a single bit of scientific research that showed that you are more suggestible when you are asleep. So if there is a case to be made, you would be less suggestible because you're less aware of what's going on around you. And time after time after time, I've seen hypnotists and I've had clients come in whose hypnotists told them, it's okay if you fall asleep. Well, no. What you're having is a very expensive nap. If you're gonna sleep, go home, go to sleep, come back. So you have to understand, even though we use the word sleep sometimes, like when I do an instant induction, I might say sleep, but in my hypnosis pre-talk, I make it very clear to my clients that hypnosis is not sleep. If I use the word sleep, it's kind of like code for go deeply relaxed as if you were asleep, okay? But you want to remain focused and awake on the sound of my voice, okay? All right, anything you want to say about that, Meredith?
Yeah, I mean, I can't tell you how many people come to me confused about that, how many clients, you know, have either purchased CDs that, you know, lead them to believe, hypnosis CDs that lead them to believe that sleep is a part of the deal, and, you know, they've fallen asleep while listening to the CD. It almost seems to be encouraged by it, or they've actually been to a hypnotist before who does only direct suggestion work, who has been completely okay with them falling asleep, you know, hasn't paid attention for that, and maybe even encouraged it, and maybe even encouraged the misperception that it is the same thing, that hypnosis is sleep. And so I often have to re-educate my clients and help them to understand that, you know, that may have worked for the purpose that they were working on with you, but with the kind of work that I do, the kind of hypnosis that I do, that's not it. Now, depending on the client and how protective they are of the person that they worked with before, I may use the softer approach like I just did, or I may just get really clear, no, definite confusion here. Hypnosis is not sleep. Let's have you experience what hypnosis really is.
Cool. Hey, Meredith, I'm looking at our time. We got like a couple more minutes. Let's get one or two more things in, and then this will be a part one, part two series. Is that okay with you?
Sounds good.
All right. So when we're talking about sleep and we're talking about knowing if the client is in hypnosis, so we have testing, like I already talked about. We always do covert testing for somnambulism. So we prepare the client, we hypnotize the client, we deepen the client, and then we test. Or in the case of the Elvin Banion induction, the test for somnambulism is built into it. So then we'll do a little deepening, and then here we go. We use another kind of test that we call a convincer. This is a test that is not really for the hypnotist. We're not trying to see if the person's hypnotized. We already established that when we did the depth testing. What we'll do is we'll give them a simple little test like eye lock, eyelid catalepsy, or arm catalepsy. You know, you try to lower your arm, but you cannot, which only require light levels of hypnosis, which means you're going to have a very, very high success rate. What that's for is to let the client know that they're hypnotized. Not using convincers is a huge mistake. Huge mistake that too many hypnotists are making. Because, why? Because clients who believe they were hypnotized do better. They do better at getting results. They do better at giving you referrals. They do better at coming back to get the rest of your sessions. Yeah, they want to talk to people about the sessions I had with you. You don't want them saying, well, I don't know if I was really hypnotized. I was relaxed for a while. I'm not sure if I fell asleep or what. You want them to say, oh yeah, this guy's great. Locked down my eyelids, stuck my arm out there, said it was stiff and rigid like a bar of steel. I tried to lower it, but I couldn't. He's great. You see, that way your client is out spreading the good news about hypnosis, that it works. Spreading the good news about you. So you definitely want to use convincers. And that's 20-something minutes. Why don't you wrap it up, Meredith?
Yeah, I mean, just to add to that a little bit, you know, there is no hypnosis feeling. And so there really is no way for clients to know that they were actually hypnotized. It's a regular state of being that they're in all of the time, so it's not going to feel that different to them. And if you don't do things to show them that indeed they were in hypnosis, they can easily just blow off the whole entire thing as being a failure. And that's the last thing that you'd want. So absolutely, you know, show them that they were in hypnosis with time distortion, red, red, red. I mean, there's a whole myriad of ways that you can do that and you know, do a whole bunch of them, you know, so that they have no question when they leave your office that they were hypnotized. You got to get that out of the way. Thank you guys so much for tuning in. Please do next week for the To Be Continued part two of this series. Looking forward to answering questions in the future, so please do send them in. Meredith@yourpathhypnosis.com, or you can post them right down there on calbanion.com. You can also post them on Hypnosis Etc. Facebook page. You can also post them on the Ask Cal group on ourhypnospace.com. My goodness, we give you so many avenues to get the information into us, and we want to hear from you. This is Meredith Locker signing off.
Thank you, Meredith. Oh, here's something very important. I haven't mentioned it in a long time. How would you like to have a list of every episode, just like one long sheet from episode one all the way up to where we are currently? Become a VIP member. There's a place on the website, I think it's right up there, and it says become a VIP. And you give me your email, and you know what we'll do? We'll shoot you off a link to over 300 to date. We're 340 something, almost 350 episodes like this, and it becomes like a working encyclopedia of hypnosis techniques. All right, what else I want to say? Gosh, oh, another important thing. Go to Facebook. Friend us on Facebook. It's facebook.com/hypnosisETC for hypnosis, etc. That's it. I hope you guys have a great Hypno Tuesday, because this always comes out on Tuesday. Cal Banion signing off.
This recording is the property of Cal Banion and the Banion Hypnosis Center for Training and Services, Incorporated. All rights reserved, for private use only, may not be duplicated without permission. For contact information, go to www.hypnosiscenter.com.